Well, many experts would say that some of the most life-altering pain that you experience isn't circumstantial pain. You know, the kind of pain that hits you hard and overwhelms you in the moment, but eventually passes. Most experts would say that that's not the pain that hits you hard and you get through. But the most life-altering pain is the pain that God could heal, but you've learned to live with it. It's the anxiety that you tend to normalize and think, I'm just an anxious person, and I'm always going to battle with anxiety. It's the bitterness that you justify because of what they did. You just think it served me right to be angry with them. It's the exhaustion that you rationalize and you think it's always going to be this way. I'm always going to be overwhelmed. I'm always going to be trying not to burn out. It's the pain that you use to fight against, but you've grown to just accept it. And what's interesting is the very thing that used to feel off, something that you didn't want, starts to feel normal. The thing that should have been temporary sometimes actually becomes your identity. And this is the point in our study where things could get a little bit uncomfortable. And I want to tell you why. Because God wants to bring healing in your hurting mind. He wants you to experience the grace of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the truth that sets you free. But eventually, healing actually requires movement. And sometimes the most loving thing that Jesus can do isn't just sit with us in the pain, but the most loving thing he can do is to call us out of it. And today we look to him and believe that he will. We're in the message series called Heal Your Hurting Mind. And I want to give you just a little bit of a review of where we've been in the message series, and so we can build on it today. If you were with us week number one, we learned we're body, soul, and spirit, that we're different parts, that salvation is instant, but healing takes time. Spiritually, you can be saved in a moment, but it takes time for your mind, your will, and your emotions to be healed. Week two, we learn that a hurting mind isn't a broken mind, but it's healing and progress, that there's progress and God is working in our lives. Today, what we're going to do is look at the truth that most of the time Jesus asks you to meet his grace with your faith. Most of the time Jesus asks you to meet his grace with your faith. And I say most of the time because Jesus can heal instantly. And sometimes he does heal instantly. But most of the time, you're going to see that he shows up as grace, and grace initiates, and then faith participates. Let me say it again. We're going to go somewhere with this. Grace initiates, and faith participates. We're going to look in John 5 today, and I want to give you the context. In John 5, there was a man who was unable to walk for 38 years. I want you to let that sink in. 38 years, not days, not months, but years that this guy was struggling. And some of you can probably relate. There may be some season of your life, some burden, some problem, some pattern you've been dealing with for way too long. years ago, you used to think, I can overcome this. But now maybe you just think, this is just the way I am. It's not circumstantial pain, but it's the pain that's just going to become normal. And so Jesus asks this guy a very direct question and forces him to confront a place that he's been stuck for a long time. I'm going to read from John 5, starting in verse 1. Scripture tells us this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda and is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, one who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to the man who had been sick and hurting for 38 years, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And the word of God says, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. I am praying that today for some of you, you will have the faith to meet the grace of God. And maybe in a moment, maybe over time, that whatever was holding you back will be healed in the name of Jesus. And you can get up and whatever's been holding you down, you will walk out of it for the glory of God. A big prayer, and we have a big God. Let's build the context so you'll make sure you really see what's going on. Jesus was in Jerusalem for a festival, and then he takes this detour. And interestingly enough, he doesn't go to a temple where you might think. But instead, Jesus goes to a pool. And this pool has five colonnades. Now, in the Greek, this pool is the house of grace. So it's a house of grace or a house of mercy where there's this pool covered by five colonnades. Now, it's interesting. Like, why would John tell us there's five colonnades? Well, in the Bible, numbers often mean something. And five is the number of grace. Anytime you see five, it generally represents grace. So Jesus goes to the house of grace, covered by grace. And you may say, well, what is grace? Grace, some people say, is God's unmerited favor. Or they'll spell it grace, G-R-A-C-E. They'll say it's God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. It's the unmerited blessings and favor and forgiveness of God. In other words, we don't earn God's grace. We don't deserve God's grace. How is it that you're made right with God? The Bible says it's not by works, not by religious efforts. In other words, you can never on your own, in your own power, ever be good enough for God. But you are saved by grace through faith. Grace initiates and faith participates. Grace initiates. God initiated for God to love the world that he sent his one and only Son. God initiates. Faith participates. You're saved by grace through your faith, believing that Jesus is enough. not by works, not by being good enough, not by giving money to the poor, not by giving money to Santa Claus, ringing the bell in December, but by grace through faith. So, if you've been changed, if you're in Christ, if your sins are gone, if you've been made new, you're saved by grace through faith. You're here by grace. You're forgiven by grace. You're chosen by grace. You're called by grace. And Jesus asks you to meet His grace with your faith. Grace initiates, faith participates. This is going to get rich. You better get ready. Jesus is at the house of grace with five grace colonnades and sees a man. Hadn't walked for a long, long time. He's just kind of used to being stuck and hurting. And Jesus asked him an unusual question. What does Jesus say? Have you been sick 38 years? Jesus says, hey, do you want to get well? This guy has been unable to walk for 38 years. Do you think he wants to get well? Of course he does. I mean, obviously, he does. I mean, it would change his life. If you can imagine, the only thing he can do is beg. He can't work. He can't make a difference. If he has kids, he can't chase his kids. Of course he wants to. This is like an easy question to answer. But Jesus says, do you want to get well? And the guy doesn't say, of course. Yes, please help. Now, I've been praying for this. I've been waiting for this. No. Do you want to get well? Instead of saying yes, the guy makes an excuse. An excuse as to why he can't get to the pool. Watch what he says. Sir, Jesus says, do you want to get well? The guy says, verse 7, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Now, if you don't know the whole context of this, you may say, like, well, you know, why did the guy want to get in the pool? Was it summertime and he wants to cool off? No. There's a backstory to this that's pretty interesting. There was a belief that an angel would come down and stir the waters. And whenever the angel would stir the water, the tradition or the belief was that the first person to get in the pool would be healed. And so when Jesus says, do you want to get well? He doesn't say yes. He explains why he can't get to the pool. And before you sit back there and give him the Christian judgment, before we judge him, which is kind of what I want to do, we have to realize that we often sound just like this guy. We do. I know. I do. Do you want to get better? I tried it and it didn't work. I mean, you know, that's just the way I am. I mean, this is my body type, and it's just my desires. I mean, you know, my dad struggled with it. My granddad struggled with it. And besides, you don't understand what I've been through. We make our excuses. And so this guy wants to go to the pool to get healing. But every day he has an excuse that keeps him on the porch. Let me say it again. We're going to build on this. He wants to go to the pool for healing, but every day he has an excuse that keeps him stuck on the porch. And I want to say just very lovingly, without any judgment, I wonder how many of you do something similar. Like, you want to get better, but you stay stuck hurting on the porch. And when I tell you I get it, I get it. Because the porch is familiar. The porch is comfortable. The porch feels safe. It may not feel good, but it feels normal. And you're used to normal. The pool requires movement. The pool requires change. The pool requires faith. The porch allows you to sit in what you know and rationalize the pain. The pool forces you to confront it. And so if you look at this, this poor old guy for 38 years chose the pain he knew over the healing that was possible. And there are some of us. We do the exact same thing. We just kind of rest and excuse the pain that we've experienced for so long instead of continuing to seek Jesus for the healing that is possible. Now, I don't know what it would be for some of you, but it's some wrong mindset that you know is wrong, but you just keep on repeating it over and over again. Some habit that you know you shouldn't do, but you rationalize it and you keep doing it. Maybe it's just your schedule. You do too much. You do too much. You do too much. You know you're doing too much. You're burning out. You're not taking a Sabbath. You're emotionally exhausted. You push it beyond what you have the ability to do, and you continue to do it, running on fumes, and just say, this is just going to be my life. Some of you, it's like negativity that has become so normal to you. You have no idea how miserable you are and how miserable people are around you. Critical of everything, that and this, Christians, politics, and you don't see how your critical spirit is poisoning your soul. For some, it's anger. I'm just mad, 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 mad. Always got a short fuse, and you justify it because she did that, he did that, and they're not, and no one does, and I'm the only one. You just live in anger. For some of you, the pain has been so real for so long, you just numb it and rationalize the addiction or the unhealthy coping mechanism. For some of you, it's just you're hopeless. You could put your hope in the one who is hope and good, but you tried that. It didn't work the first time. And so you just try to get enough. Try to get through another day. I'm just stuck on the porch. And so I want to just ask you, is there something broken in your life? Is there something that's holding you back? Is there something that is not God's will for you that you've just learned to live with? You used to fight it and now you just accept it. And don't hear me asking, hear the Spirit of God asking you with love, with grace, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? I want you to think about this. The paralyzed man thought if he could get to the water, he'd be healed. But he couldn't get to the water. Think about some of the names of Jesus. What's Jesus called? Jesus says, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I'm the door. I'm the vine. I'm the branches. I'm the lion, the tribe of Judah. I am the Alpha and the Omega. What's one of the metaphors of Jesus? One of the metaphors of Jesus is he's called the living water. If you taste of him, you'll never thirst again. And watch this. The man couldn't get to the water, so the living water came to the man. And today there are those of you. You need to know that grace is initiating. The living water is coming to you. Grace initiates, faith participates, and grace is asking you, do you want to get well? Is a diagnosis good or bad? And the answer is it depends. It depends. A diagnosis is good if it helps you to understand the problem and points you toward healing. But a diagnosis is bad if you let it define you. And this is a very, very big problem in our culture today. Now, I'm going to push on it, and if you get mad at me, you're probably the one who needs to hear what I'm about to say. What's happening today is there are so many people over-identifying with a diagnosis. And a diagnosis, which is what they struggle with, but not who they are, starts to become their very identity. They'll put it on their social media bio, I am blah, 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 and here's my diagnosis. And I want to say, yes, mental health issues are real. Anxiety is real. You open up the news today, and you see what's going on in the world today. And it can bring anxiety on the healthiest of people. Depression is real. Burnout is real. But if you focus nonstop on what's wrong, you generally get worse and not better. Some of you, you got to change the pattern. You got to get off the porch. You got to stop being stuck on the porch. I learned that what you resist the hardest is often what you need the most. And wherever you push back today, no, you don't know. And, oh, you're just a dumb preacher. You don't know my situation, my life. Wherever you push back the hardest is often exposed as what you need the most. Grace initiates and faith participates. Grace initiates and faith participates. You're in the presence of God right now. He is here. The power of the Holy Spirit is here. Grace is initiating to some of you, telling you, you can be well. You can be well. Grace initiates, faith participates. The guy in our story, he did what some of you are doing. He stayed on the porch. What I want you to notice is the grace that covered him started to cripple him. You can stay in grace so long that what once was a covering becomes a crutch. This guy was comfortable with grace, but it was grace without faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has grace for you, for every single one of you. God has grace for your problem. But he never intended for his grace to enable our dysfunction. And so that's what I want to tell somebody here. And I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it deep in your bones. You are not your diagnosis, and your diagnosis is not you. You are not your addiction, and your addiction is not you. You are not your unhealthy mindset, and your unhealthy mindset is not you. Don't stay stuck on the porch. With grace and truth, Jesus said to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." You've been there for 38 years. Don't stay stuck. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. At once. When grace initiated and faith participated, the healing power of God met the man in that moment. And at once, he stood up on the very mat that had held him hostage and walked away. Stop believing the lie that this is just the way you are. Stop believing that you cannot overcome it. Stop believing that you are stuck there. Stop staying stuck on the porch. Could the guy not walk? He couldn't walk. Factually, on his own, he was unable to walk. It was a fact he couldn't walk. It may be a fact that you're exhausted and doing too much. It may be factually true that you feel anxious. Whatever the fact that tells you you can't or you're not, I want to tell you right now, your faith speaks louder than facts. How do you heal? Jesus asks you to meet his grace with faith. Grace initiates, faith participates. Stop stalling. Stop believing the lie. Stop waiting. Stop making excuses. What do you do? What's your next step? Very, very simply. You ready? Do what you can and trust God to do what you can't. Do what you can. Do what you can. Do what His Word says to do. Can you pray? Can you pray? You can pray. Can you breathe? You can breathe. You've been doing it for a long time. You can seek God. You can take whatever the next step is. You can start the plan. What do you have access to? What do you have access to? You've got access to the living Word of God, which never returns void. Powerful and sharp. You have access to wise counsel. You have someone sitting next to you, maybe, that might have the prayer of faith, who would love to pray for you today. You've got access to community and mentors and people who will love you, accept you where you are, but love you beyond where you are. You've got the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ, it's dwelling within you today. You may struggle right now. You may be hurting. Guess what? Who'd Jesus come for? Not the healthy, but for the sick. He came for those who needed Him. So He's coming for you today, asking you, do you want to get well? Don't stay stuck on the porch. Tell your problems. I'm not staying down. By faith, I will be well. Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal your hurts. Jesus can heal your marriage. Jesus can heal your addiction. Jesus can heal your depression. Jesus can heal you of your trauma. Jesus can heal you of whatever you've learned to live with. So just decide today. My calling is too great. My God is too good to stay stuck on the porch. By faith, I'm going to pick up the mat and step toward healing. The same God that saved your spirit is faithful to restore your soul. In Jesus' name, don't stay stuck. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.